This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Today's edition of Bassmaster Radio is brought to you by Enigma Fishing. Cast, catch, repeat. And visit Anderson.com, South Carolina's bright spot and home to beautiful Lake Hartwell. And by the Bass Angler Sportsman Society, home for the greatest professional fishermen in the world and the Super Bowl of bass fishing, the Bassmaster Classic. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and a college bracket event that leads to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, just visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster. And use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the home button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Welcome to the Memorial Day weekend edition of Bassmaster Radio. And I hope this weekend you take a moment away from the grill and the good times and think about those that gave their all for this great nation so that we can do frivolous things like chase little green and brown fish around the country. This is not Veterans Day. It's Memorial Day. So thank the family of a fallen American and certainly always thank those that have and do serve today. Now, as you're listening to this, the BassPro.com Bassmaster Eastern Open is taking place on Chickamauga Lake in southeastern Tennessee. I am competing in this event, and next week we'll have full results and the winner on. Hopefully, I'll get to interview myself. In the meantime, it's a Winning Ways edition of Bassmaster Radio, and we go back to Hartwell, Winya Bay, and Lake Fork for winners Brandon Cobb, Stetson Blaylock, and Brandon Cobb. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock. It's a Cobb Sandwich edition of Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network, and welcome to this special edition of Bassmaster Radio as we take a look back. It's a Winning Ways edition of Bassmaster Radio as we're taking a look back at Brandon Cobb's two wins and Stetson Blaylock's win in the middle of those at Winya Bay. We're going to start out with the conversation that I had with Brandon Cobb after he got his first major win and his first blue trophy, and he did it on his home lake at Lake Hartwell. Here was our conversation. Brandon, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I'm a little tired, but, you know, I'm on the way to try to find some Winya Bay bass now.
I hear that.
I feel like I'm behind the eight ball, but we're getting there.
Yeah, no, you're not behind the eight ball. With the blue trophy and $100,000, you're not behind the eight ball. You're definitely in front of the eight ball now. By the way, full disclosure, Brandon and I share a sponsor. We're both sponsored by Visit Anderson. And let's start right there because that had to be a pretty special deal. I know Neil Paul was very excited. He's the one that first told me about you a couple of years ago to watch out for this kid. But pretty cool to get this done in a place that you call home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to win anywhere, but if there's one that I want to win more than all the others, that was it. And for it to come together the way it did, I mean, with everybody there and being sponsored by Anderson, like you said, I mean, in the town of Anderson, and get to pretty much prove my worth on the home lake is awesome.
How cool was that turnout, too, for Championship Sunday? I mean, that was neat to see that whole area where the weigh-in was right there at Green Pond Landing, beautiful Green Pond Landing, to see that whole area filled with people. A lot of them, of course, supporting you, but a lot of them just supporting bass and this championship. How cool was that?
Oh yeah! Now that the ramp and the area is pretty much finished, it's got an awesome place for the weigh-ins and expo and parking and all that. So it was like this is the perfect venue for it.
Yeah. Well, I understand from that there's rumors there that they're going to build a little amphitheater weigh-in area over by the water side there, over by where they built the new restrooms and so on, and that's going to be even cooler as well.
Yeah, I think eventually we'll definitely have that going there, and it's. That'll be even better. I mean, we already, Lake Hartwell and Anderson's already had so many big tournaments. I mean, not just pro-level tournaments, you know, regionals and championships, things like that there over the past few years. Once we have that, it'll be there'll be tournaments fished there every month, I think.
Yeah, well, I hope not every month. We don't have too much pressure. But you opened up this deal with 19-9 on the first day, and it was really dramatic because you didn't have a marshal. And, in fact, I remember watching you guys go out. I was standing on the end of the dock when you guys were going out day one, and I'm like, really? No marshal for Cobb? Of all people, no marshal for that guy? But, you know, you came back with pretty near 20 pounds on day one, and that must have been pretty special as you kind of knew when you came in that you had done some serious damage.
No, I definitely did. I mean, Hartwell was one of those lakes, like, I've been really consistent, had a lot of success over there over the years, and I've had over 20 before in open tournaments, but as far as, like, a single-man tournament goes, whether it be the tour in the past years or a BFL, I've won a couple BFLs there and done well in a lot more. The biggest bag I've ever had in those is actually, like, in the 18s range by myself. So everything went real well that day.
Well, how much of this is a timing deal? I mean, the big girls were moving up into the backs of the creeks. Obviously, you saw pretty much every fish that you caught in this deal. How much of that was part of it? Because if this is 2 or 3 weeks earlier, which is when they generally have a classic at Hartwell, when they've had three of them there, or if it's a few weeks later, it's a totally different thing, right? You're all chasing shad spawn and chasing spots around.
Herring spawn, yeah. Yeah, if it had been like a few weeks later, it would have been a full-out postponed tournament. And actually, the funny thing is, the first day kind of sent me some, like, miscues on what the fish were doing because I had a pretty poor practice, which I didn't fish a lot of areas I'm real familiar with. I mean, I know the whole lake, but there's, you know, certain sections that's, like, what I call my home. And I didn't practice there, but the first day, the three biggest fish I weighed were actually postponed fish off dock.
Wow.
And when I caught those, it kind of clued me in, like, oh, that's why practice has been so poor, and that's why everybody's kind of struggling, because more fish than we think have already spawned. And I kind of got more into that let's look for postponers mentality, because that's some of the biggest ones. And then after those dock bites the first day, it just kind of went away. I'm not quite sure what the deal with that was. And then the sight fishing, I mean, because between fish and docks, you also kind of sight fish, you know, you go around them. And by the second day, I started realizing, well, maybe not. You know, there's some new fish coming up, and I'm not catching as many off docks. They kind of progressed more into a full-out sight fishing tournament.
Yeah, and the thing was, too, is that you didn't have to park on them very long either, which was interesting. I mean, how much of that was the Zoom fluke stick and the Zoom trick worm you were throwing, and how much of that was presentation? I mean, what was it that, or were they just that aggressive that you were catching them that way? Because, you know, typically you got to kind of sit on them a little bit before you can get them to bite.
Yeah, that's a... For me, at least, like, I know, like, other lakes you can catch the bedfish on, like some Florida lakes and some of these more like power fishing type lakes, dirty water lakes, you know, I flipped 25 pound test in a Texas rig, you know, to catch them with a white crawl. Well, for some reason at Hartwell forever, I've always had, if it's a fish that's catchable, like there's fish that aren't catchable, but I can tell usually in 2 or 3 casts whether it's a catchable fish. And if they're catchable, I can usually catch them within 10 to 15 minutes always on that light line and finesse bait.
Well, talk about that rig exactly, that light line. We saw, by the way, I think it was on Championship Sunday when you had the, quote, wind knot, and you pulled it out with no problem, didn't have to retie. And that's what everybody on live said, okay, it's over. This guy doesn't even get a knot in his line. I mean, it was that crazy. But talk about the rig that you used, you know, as far as the line weight and so on.
Okay, yeah, so reeling rod, I was just using, like, some finesse spinning rods. I was using a 610 medium and arc invoker rod. I like that 610 skipping-wise, a little tighter, a little easier skip, and a Revo X30 spinning reel. And as far as the setup goes, I use 10-pound braids. Every now and then I'll go up to 15, but with those smaller baits, it's a little easier to throw on 10. So I use 10-pound Yozuri Super Braid. That's always my go-to line. And then a 10, I varied with leaders a little bit, but I pretty much stuck with a 10-pound Yozuri fluorocarbon leader, HD fluorocarbon. And it comes on little spools, so you got tight, nice little tight spool to tie your leaders off of. Mm. And hook on both baits on the fluke stick. I honestly don't know the make of the hook I was using. It was just a wacky rig, round bend hook with a fiber weed guard. I've always been a fan of the fiber weed guards. And I don't use an O-ring. I like to just hook my fluke sticks straight on. Mm-hmm. Rather than use an O-ring, because I feel like you tend to hook the fish in the tongue or side of the mouth more with an O-ring. When you hook it straight on, you hook them right in the roof of the mouth.
Right.
And then my shaky head, which the shaky head wasn't something I like fished with, but if I found a spawning fish, that's what I used, was the shaky head. And I just had an 8-ounce greenfish tackle ball head. I don't use the spring locks. I just use where you push the worm up the shank of the hook, ball
right.
head.
Right.
And, a Zoom trick worm, green pumpkin green. I mean, nothing real special.
All right, so on the green pumpkin Zoom fluke stick, that's the one that you were wacky rigging. No weight or anything, just to just wacky rigging it. It's just, I mean, it's not a bait that you would look at and say, okay, this is something I'm going to wacky rig as much, you know?
Yeah, no, I do pinch the tail off of them. That's the one thing I do to them.
Here's a trick.
Yeah. It works with the tail. I use it with the tail sometimes, but I feel like it falls better without the tail, so I pinch the tail off. And I don't, like, presentation-wise, I don't really fish it, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. I'm basically, what that bait is doing for me, hip docks with it, number one. But number two, when I'm going down the banks, I mean, like, Hartwell, there's not really such thing as a spawning bank.
Yeah.
They just spawn on the bank everywhere.
Yeah.
So as I'm going down the bank, I'm constantly keeping an eye ahead of me, like 10, 15 yards, like far enough where the fish don't know I'm there. And I basically take that fluke stick and I just pitch it or throw it out right past every dark light, any kind of spot that looks different. And I'll throw it about 5 foot past it, reel it to the spot, jiggle it on top kind of, and then let it fall to the bottom of the spot. And as I'm trolling, by the time it's sank to the bottom, I'm about on top of it, and I reel up. And sometimes the fish has it, sometimes he doesn't, and I'll throw the next spot. And I also look down at all those spots as I'm going to see if there was a fish on it.
That was Brandon Cobb after his win at Hartwell. That was his first of two wins in less than 4 weeks. So we'll hear from him a little bit later on about his win at Texas Fest. But coming up next, Stetson Blaylock. He was the meat of the sandwich of the Cobb winning ways. And we'll share our conversation with Stetson Blaylock after his win at Winya Bay next, right here on Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio. I'm the Bassmaster Radio Network. I'm Tom Abraham. This is a special edition of Bassmaster Radio, kind of a winning ways, the radio version, if you will. And just heard from Brandon Cobb off his win at Hartwell. The boys then headed to Winya Bay, where Stetson Blaylock raised the blue trophy. We had a nice conversation with Stetson. Here is our conversation. Stetson, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Do you take the blue trophy like around with you and stuff? I know you're doing your thing with the Ultimate Match Fishing this weekend. No rest for the weary. Did you take it with you to just kind of like put it on the front deck so like Keith Combs and the other competitors could just look at it?
You know, I know for me, we follow each other pretty closely. And, you know, I think just winning, it's enough. it's funny. My boy, he's six, and he's asked me every tournament, did you get a blue trophy? Did you get a blue trophy? And I'm like, no, not this week. And then, you know, at Hartwell, they were there and finished second there. And when I walked off the stage, the very first thing he said was, did we get the trophy this time?
Oh, man.
And I said, no, buddy, not this time.
So that was absolutely the most special thing for me, without a doubt, was him being there and me getting to, you know, look at him and tell him that we got the trophy this time.
Your whole family there too. I mean, your wife, daughter. I mean, and this is like totally different, I would imagine, back in 09 when you won. You're like, yeah, this is no big deal. I'll be doing this all the time. And these things are hard to win, you know. It reminds me of like Dan Marino in the Super Bowl. Yeah, these things are really tough to win. But what a different guy you are with your whole family up on stage with you, you know, in 2019 as opposed to 2009.
Absolutely. Yeah. If I remember correctly, me and Lindsay weren't even married then. We didn't get married till that fall. And so yes, we had been together for several years. Yes, we were, you know, already pretty much family, but it's just different when you have kids and when they look up to you and they know what you're doing. They know what your job is and they know how hard that you work and how much sacrifice that not only you have to give up, but them also. And as a family, it's just, it's a lot of challenging times and a lot of hard fought battles to finally come out victorious and get that trophy that you worked so hard for. It's pretty special.
Stetson Blaylock with us talking about his win coming out at Winya Bay. And it's, you know, as he said, coming off of a second-place finish at Hartwell. So South Carolina, very good to him. And, you know, with an eighth-place finish at Lanier as well. I mean, look, if it was just a little stronger at the St. John's, you'd probably be sitting on top of that AOI. But you're right there with these other guys. It feels like it's going to be a race for St. Clair here the rest of the way.
You know, it's one of those things that you can always look back and say, yeah, if I would have or I should have. And I had some great opportunities in Florida that I let get away. But that bad finish and that bad start, I think, is part of what sparked, you know, the last three tournaments. Just, you know, getting the mindset of I'm not going to let this happen again. We're not going to have a year like this. And just, you know, putting your head down and not worrying about, you know, what you've done the last couple of years and how poorly that I've fished and how I started the year this year. And you can't look at those, you know, those bad tournaments and bad years and judge yourself and your performances by that. You just got to keep your head down and, you know, stay focused, stay positive, and, you know, let your fishing do the talking and just work your way back in.
Take us back to Winya Bay now on Sunday, because, you know, you're sitting there, you got Corey Johnson right there with you, you know, you're coming in. It's you had that huge bag on day three, 17-15 on day three. I think it was the biggest bag of the tournament. And then here you are on Sunday coming in with 9-3, and it's got to feel like you got nothing when you're coming in. How concerned are you at that point in time that maybe this thing has slipped through your hands, not knowing that Scott Canterbury came busting up the list at you, as opposed to Corey or Jay Willie or any of those guys?
Yeah, I think for the people that watched Bass Live all day Saturday or all day Sunday, and for when you see this show, you're going to think, man, that guy had no idea. And that's it. I mean, it was the weirdest championship Sunday that I've ever fished, just because I really thought by about 10:30 and I didn't have them in the bag that I had give the tournament away. And it wasn't until we were standing there in the weigh-in line and getting ready to pull our boats through in front of the stage that I realized that everybody struggled except one, and that there was going to be two or three of us within ounces of each other. And, you know, you start doing that math in your head and thinking about all the fish that you lost and the ones that you, you know, I passed up some bed fish that would have helped me a little bit, and just looking for bigger fish, thinking I needed so much more weight. It's pretty crazy to fish all day thinking you had given it away and then to stand there at the end and go, wow, this actually really might happen. It's a crazy feeling to not go out there and shut the door early and just know you've got it won, but yet you struggle all day long and you have to persevere through so many small fish and just not getting those quality bites and just the demons in your head telling you that it's over and that, you know, you had an opportunity and let it slip through your fingers. It's just so rewarding to come in and see that, not that everybody struggled, but that, you know, there is still hope. And then to win that tournament that, you know, you struggled so hard on that final day, it's, gosh, it feels so good to not let that one slip away.
Stetson Blaylock with us talking about the victory at Winya Bay. Let's talk about how you got it done as well. Do a little technique of the week here with you. Look, you gave us some great topwater action. I mean, we saw on live some tremendous topwater action, but you did most of your damage with the Yum Dinger. Talk about how you rig it and, how you like to use, what kind of line you're using, whether you're, how much of a leader and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was using a 5-inch green pumpkin Yum Dinger, and I mean, it's the most basic of the basic rig that you can throw. I put a 1/32 tungsten nail in the end of it, have an O-ring on it, and I was using a 1/0 Gamakatsu G-Finesse, a drop shot hook, and then on one rig, and then I had the new weedless wacky finesse hook on the other. And I was throwing that on. I usually throw it on 8, but I was throwing it around a lot of cover, so I was throwing it on 10-pound Seaguar and Vizx fluorocarbon. About a 7-foot leader. I choose to throw a shorter leader when I'm fishing shallow. Mm-hmm. And then I had that tied to 20-pound Seaguar Smackdown braid. I was throwing the new Flash Green. And let me tell you, that combination is deadly. And I was throwing it on a 610 medium light spinning rod. And the reason I choose that softer rod is just because you don't really know what's going to happen when you hook one of those fish. And I want to be able to I want my rod to do the fighting. We, 13 Fishing has an awesome new 610 medium light NV Black, and it is bad to the bone when it comes to fishing that wacky rig around cover. And just being able to have the rig, have the confidence, and get some bites, and it all works together in your favor. It just really builds the confidence in what you're using.
And that Seaguar Flash Green line, I've used that some just recently. It's amazing how good you can see it. I thought it was just me, like I'm getting old, I'm 58, and I can't see anymore, and I can't hardly see the darker green line. But apparently this is something that a lot of guys, even younger guys like you, deal with, and that Flash Green is really something.
Yeah, the whole key to that bright line is just being able to keep in not in contact with it, but actually visualize where that line is at. I'll watch my line a lot. When I skip a wacky worm around up in that shallow cover, I'm going to lay that line on the water and watch it. And a lot of times you'll see it pop, or you'll see it jump, or you'll see it fall in a certain speed, and then it'll stop. And all those are, key signs that one bit it or one has it. And there's no telling how many fish I've caught that I never even felt them bite, but I saw my line move. And so that Flash Green is a huge key to being successful with that wacky worm.
Why the O-ring? A lot of guys debate it. They do you go O-ring? Do you go, just stick the worm? But why do you like the O-ring?
I personally like it, one, because you go through fewer baits. Two, because when you have a nail in it, it falls straight to the bottom and your hook point standing up. And to me, it's a little bit less. It's a little bit more weedless, and to me, it hooks fish a lot better.
So you're kind of hopping that along then. If you have that nail weight in it, it's not like you're fishing it fast back like you would floating or without a any weight.
No, and I think that's a key, has been a big key to my success over the last not only Hartwell and Winya Bay, but also my first day at Lanier. I caught a really nice stringer the first day, and all of them were on that. And it's the exact same rig, exact same setup. And I think that biggest key to that is that rate of fall. A lot of guys, opt to fish it slower, and they feel like they get more bites when it's falling a lot slower. But I'm the opposite. I like that bait to get down there and get down there fast.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you're not going to be running much 8 or 10-pound leaders and spinning gear and stuff like this when you get to Lake Fork for Texas Fest, which is going to be a meat fest, could be a 100-pound tournament. You've had success at this lake. You've had success at Fort Gibson, which I think you had a second or something like that in an open there. So you've had success on these lakes, these bodies of water that are coming up. You've got to feel pretty good as you get ready to head a little bit, at least stay in the central time zone here, coming up in the next couple of events.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been a guy that doesn't look too far ahead. I want to take it one day at a time, one event at a time. And, to be honest with you, I'm focusing on this ultimate match fishing deal before I even start thinking about Fork. And as soon as it's over, as soon as I'm done here, my focus will immediately go to Fork and preparing for that place. And I know I've got a lot of history there. I've spent a lot of time on that lake. And that doesn't mean you're going to catch them
but the comfort level's there coming off of a win, a second place, another top 10. You know, I'm really, really comfortable in the way things have been going, and just even Gunnersville, those places are I'm familiar with, and it's just better when you kind of have some idea what's going on and what to expect, and I'm ready to get.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. All right, we've had back-to-back winners, but Brandon Cobb went almost back-to-back with Stetson Blaylock in the middle. He won at Texas Fest, and he just absolutely crushed him. So he was back in the winner's circle. Here was our talk. Brandon Cobb, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think? You like that Commissioner of Big Bass, all these different nicknames that Mercer's giving you, the CEO Double B, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's like, I'm kind of, when I was at FLW side, there was a few different nicknames. They like almost tried to start, and I didn't like any of them, but this is a good one.
Yeah.
So I'm good with it.
Yeah, well, you're probably good with holding up those $100,000 checks a couple of times a month, too. I mean, you know, Big Bass, big stage, big dreams. Certainly Big Bass for you. But could you dream of your first season on the Elite Tour that you'd win a couple of events by the halfway mark of the season? You'd have a couple of wins in the hopper?
No, absolutely not. There's no way you could. I mean, you always want to win, but, I mean, look, I've been fishing for 5 years now and never won a pro-level event. So
yeah,
it's been an unbelievable year so far. It's awesome, and you always want to win, but winning's one of the hardest things to like. Everything has to go right, come together perfectly.
You know, when I texted you to set up the interview, I jokingly said, "God, your arms must be tired from, you know, lifting those fish." But now when I think about it, you know, your arms must be tired from battling those fish. I mean, goodness gracious, that is just absolutely, it had to wear you out a little bit.
Oh, it did. That was the best fishing I've ever seen, like for practice and the whole tournament. I mean, there were certain days that were a little tough, but in general, it was unbelievable. And not to mention, I was worn out too from the way I was throwing that jerk bait.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really getting after the working it super fast, and it was awesome. But that lake is like the best I've ever seen. And the bad thing is from what after the tournament, from what I heard from some of the locals down there, it gets even better than that.
Yeah.
Like once the fish get deep and grouped up, it's hard to believe, but apparently it does.
And the thing is, too, it's only 27,000 acres. And just to kind of put that in perspective for people that are listening, that's like a third of the size of Gunnersville, for example, where you'll go next. So we'll get to that in a moment after the Fort Gibson postponement. But, you know, so it's much smaller than Hartwell. It's not a huge body of water, but it's like there's fish everywhere.
Yeah, it really, and that's what I didn't even look at one half of the lake. I kind of split the lake in half when I got there because it fishes bigger than it is because of all the trees. If it was just an open lake, like say Hartwell or somewhere, you could see the whole lake in one day of practice, you know.
Yeah.
But with all the trees, it actually takes a while to get around, and I think that it actually makes it fish a little bit better because it doesn't get pressured so bad, and there's like you kind of have to sit and fish a little bit and idle around. So I kind of pretty cool place.
Yeah, no, it is a cool place. There's no doubt about it. And you made it even cooler by the damage that you did. The 37 pounds on day three. I mean, it just, you think about that. And my personal best is 27 pounds. And that was at Gunnersville. And I remember like shaking off 5-pounders when it got to the boat. Like, oh, that's not going to help. That's not going to help. And that's kind of what it turned out to be with you. I saw you throwing back a four and a half, like it was nothing. And this was before the cancellation of, or the postponement of Fort Gibson. I was thinking, man, in 2 weeks, that'd be like the best fish you catch. If you get a 4.5-pounder, you'd be in great shape. And here you're shaking them off like they're trash fish.
Yeah, that. Well, so the third day, yeah, I had 37 the third day, but the last day, actually, I only had, I say
yeah, only,
well, 29.15. But that last day was unbelievable. The day I had 37, I pretty much like, I think I caught two or three more 4-pounders.
Yeah.
But that last day, I don't even know how many 4-pounders I caught. and five.
Yeah.
Because I had all six pounders pretty much by weigh-in. And it was, I was actually hooking them and pointing my rod to them and trying to just like crank them in real fast and skip them across the water, 4 and 5 pounders, so that I could unhook them to throw back and catch a bigger one.
Brandon Cobwood is talking about his second win of the season. By the way, 7th in the AOI standing. So, I mean, yeah, you had a couple of tough goes in there, which but it does show you how strong this field is, that you've got a couple of wins and you're still looking up at a bunch of these guys that are in front of you. It's not like you can't run them down, about 30 points back, I think, something like that. But it's a pretty strong field, especially with these newcomers.
Yeah, it is. This year, definitely. Because actually, as far as like the seasons went so far, I've really only had one bad tournament.
Yeah.
I've been in the top 20 in every single one except for one. I finished 60th at Winyah Bay.
Yep.
And had top 20s in the rest of them and still in 7th in points. So it's unbelievable how tight and how good everybody's catching them. I mean, I don't think, I hope not, because I still, it'll be awesome to win Angler of the Year, but I'm not so sure that you can have a bad one and win Angler of the Year the way it's going so far.
All right, so you got two wins in a hopper. If I told you right now, I'll give you Angler of the Year or back-to-back national championship for Clemson, and they get to beat Alabama again in a national championship. What do you think? Do you take the Clemson national championship, or do you take your own Angler of the Year?
I think Clemson's going to lose because I'm going to take Angler of the Year.
Brandon Cobb with us. Clemson graduate, by the way, Brandon Cobb. So, and you know, that September's going to be tough a little bit on you because, you know, that's into football season, and, of course, you got some major tournaments that will be coming up there with Fort Gibson being postponed and put between – Cayuga Lake and the AOI championship in Michigan. And to that end, by the way, on the Fort Gibson deal, I assume that you, like many others, I've talked to a bunch of the pros, your boat's over there in Oklahoma are sitting there waiting on you. Now you got to go pick it up and bring it back, right?
Unfortunately, I do. But it actually worked out because I would have rather just stayed out there with this situation happening. But yeah. I'm flying back and getting it. And then I'm going to go do a little filming in Little Rock for some TV show stuff with in the Bass studio. So it'll be cool to go do that. So I'm going to head back out there Sunday and pick her up.
Now, when you caught that 11-pounder, I mean, that's the biggest fish ever seen on Bassmaster Live, and it was so stunning to see. And I joked that you honk back on that thing, and it pulls you back. I mean, you're not a huge guy. You're not like you're not like Quentin Capo or one of those guys. You're not one of these big guys. It looked like for a moment that fish almost pulled you, you know, into the water. It was that hard of a, you honk back and it's almost like, oh my God, I got a cinder block.
It was. But I've caught a lot of eights and then a couple nines, but I've never leaned into a fish that felt like that when I did. It didn't even move. Like, yeah. When I set the hook, you know, normally you bed fish, you see them in the water, you set the hook, you kind of roll them up on their side, and their mouth opens up. I set the hook on that one, and he was still facing away from me after I set the hook.
Yeah.
He didn't even move.
That was crazy. That's why I said it looked like he was going to jerk you back in. And then, of course, you already had a 24-inch, you had an over, as they call it there. You're only able to bring one fish in over 24 inches. You had one in the live well. And you had to call out an 8-pounder, and I'm sitting there, and I look at it, and you have that 8-whatever, and you got the 11-1, and you're holding those two fish up for this picture that will go viral. It'll be a famous picture. It's at Bassmaster.com and everywhere else in the fishing community. And I'm, my God, he's holding up 20 pounds. It was like, it's a 20-pound stringer, and he's got two fish in his hand. I mean, that was, it's surreal. It's like fantasy world.
It was. That day was like the weirdest day. So I caught the 11, and then at that point, you know, I'm like, I'm done. I've got an 11-pounder. I've got my smallest fish now is a 4. Like, I don't even know what else we can do. I just need to go back, you know. And I'm kind of just trolling down the bank, talking to my fans behind me.
Yeah.
I'm like, seriously, done. Like, I'm not going to fish anymore. I'm going to go back. And I look down, and there's a 5-5, and I catch it in like 3 casts.
Crazy, man.
Right below me.
Yeah.
Like it was just one of those days that, like, the days you dream about fishing, like, yeah, that was it.
And you had a couple of doubles, 2 or 3 doubles as well. And we saw some others that were on live, which is just when that starts happening, you're like, okay, this is stupid. This is nuts. But have you, outside of an Alabama rig, which of course is not legal on tour, But how often have you had that happen where you've had two fish on a jerkbait or, you know, on something like that?
Believe it or not, it's actually, I've done it a good many times around here, Hartwell, and like the lakes with herring in them around here, they school so frantically most of the summer that I've done it quite often. But it was, that's one of the first times I've done it outside of like the Savannah River chain in Hartwell with all the herring.
Yeah. The dual hardcore minnow flat 110 SP jerkbait, they're gone. Mm-hmm. We can't find those anywhere. It was like, as soon as people saw you were catching, we were all going to Tackle Warehouse and the various places to try and buy some of them. You can't get them anymore.
Well, I'm out now, so anybody listening to the show, if I need them for Gunnersville, I might need you to send me one.
You might need that swim bait you were borrowing that you borrowed. Tell us about that swim bait. Do you got any of those left? Are you going to be able to find those before you get to Gunnersville?
Yeah, I do have a few of those. We actually, I think, did figure out what brand that is, because that was some of Shane's that he gave me.
Yeah.
It didn't really play that first day. So I caught them on the jerk bait really, really good the first day. And then they kind of quit biting. And I picked the swim bait up and was able to catch two really big ones after they quit biting.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that was going to be like the routine the rest of the week. You know, that's why I wanted to get some more swim baits. I was like, well, if I can catch them real good on the jerk bait, and then just be, if I can get one or two more big bites on the swim bait every place, that'd be huge, you know?
Yeah.
And then I don't think I ever caught another one. Right?
Well, Ronnie Moore and Mark Zona and myself were texting back and forth during that. We were throwing out different manufacturers and brands of what that swim bait was. I know what I thought it was. They were like, no, there's no way it's that. And then I think I know now what it is. I think we got it narrowed down. Do you want to mention the company? I mean, can
it's
you mention
the,
what is it?
We believe it's a fringe.
Oh, is it? Okay. We thought it was an Osprey. You know, that's, we thought it might have been an Osprey, but okay.
Yeah. Shane, he looked it up that night, and he said he's pretty confident it's a fringe. He actually bought them in a local tackle store back in North Carolina.
And he
didn't even have them. He didn't even have them. Like, he didn't buy them for Texas. He just had them.
So next up now with the postponement of Fort Gibson is Gunnersville, just in our final minute. You know, kind of a similar deal. That Lake Fork in a way is like a Tennessee River lake, and you wonder what it might be like in Gunnersville at the end of June. Now you got to have pretty good confidence after you had a 100-pound tournament.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting to Gunnersville. I haven't had a lot of success on Tennessee River unless the fish are shallow.
Yeah.
No. Which Gunnersville is one of those tournaments where they definitely go deep, but you don't know. It's getting late enough in the summer to where there could be some fish showing back up shallow. I mean, you never really know that type of body, but I'm definitely excited to get out there. The grass in Gunnersville, I fished Gunnersville 6 or 7 times, probably, maybe more. But I've never been when it was warm.
Yeah. All right.
Only in February and March, so I'm excited.
Did you actually drive the Tundra back, or did your wife bring that back? Or what happens with the Tundra now? Now you got one of those?
No, I talked to Toyota yesterday. We're actually probably going to wait until the late summer, fall for me to get it, to order what I want. So
nice. Beautiful. Well, congratulations. Congrats on the win. If you come on the show any more times, I'm going to have to start paying you like an appearance fee or something like that. But keep winning and you keep coming on. So hopefully we'll talk to you again. And we'll definitely see you at Gunnersville anyway in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you at Gunnersville, and hope we'll be talking again.
There you go. Yeah, Brandon Cobb, our winner from Texas Fest. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
We'll come back and wrap it up next right here on Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Visit Bassmaster.com to sign up and play Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. elite individual winners will receive a $2,500 gift card to Bass Pro Shops, and one grand prize winner will win a 2019 Nitro Z18 with Mercury 175 Pro XS. Plus, Fantasy Fishing winners who are BASS members when they set their teams up will win an additional $500 Bass Pro Shop gift card. Another great reason to become a member of BASS today. Sign up for Fantasy Fishing at BassmasterFantasy.com. And while you're at the site, click on Sweepstakes for your chance to fish with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Hunter Shyrock. The winner will get round-trip airfare, 3 nights hotel accommodations, a rental car, and a $500 gift card from Field & Stream, plus a prize package including a Phoenix 618 Pro XP Bass Pump with a Mercury 150, Lowrance HDS Live 7 with Active Imaging 3-in-1, a PowerPole $500 gift certificate, plus gear from Abu Garcia, Berkeley, Spiderwire, and much more. Also at the Sweepstakes site, you can enter to win a day on the water with Elite Series Pro Keith Combs. That trip includes airfare, 2 nights hotel accommodations, $500 spending money, and a rental car. Plus, every day in May, one entrant will win a $100 gift certificate to Cracker Barrel. And we've added another sweepstakes. It is the Ultimate Tacoma Sweepstakes Contest, where you can win a new Toyota Tacoma pickup truck. The grand prize winner will receive the 2019 Toyota Tacoma TRD off-road truck with genuine Toyota accessories and other accessories packaged from other manufacturers. The total value on that one is $43,167. The contest runs through September 29th. Find all of these at Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes. Now let's take a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. Next up, the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series at the St. Lawrence River, presented by Bass Pro Shops, is coming up June 19th through the 21st. And the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Elite Series tournament at Lake Gunnersville will go out of Goose Pond in Scottsboro, Alabama. That is June 21st through the 24th. Now, if you're interested in having a front row seat to an elite event, priority registration is now open for the Bassmaster Marshall program. Just visit bassmaster.com/elite for more information. Now, remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the home button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster.